Devices Radio Network.
Welcome to Advices Radio, presented by Nabs Gear. I'm your host, Scott McNally. Well, guys, welcome to 2017. This is the very first episode of the year. We're going to do things a little bit different than usual today. Normally, I like to take a topic and go pretty in-depth with it for an hour or so. On this particular episode, we are going to split it up into parts. The first part is going to be a conversation with my friend Jeremy Simon. He and I are going to talk about gratitude. Gratitude is super important for us in all areas of our life, and especially for bodybuilding when things start to get difficult during the contest prep season. So I know a lot of people are getting ready to start dieting, and these are things that hopefully you can take with you and that you can help to keep a positive perspective and continue training like a champion. After that, we're going to speak with my friend Andrea. Andrea works in water purity, and she's going to tell us all about how clean water gets to our houses. I know this is really out of the ordinary for a bodybuilding podcast, but it makes sense to me, and I think it's going to make sense to you. And if nothing else, hell, it's going to be just an entertaining listen. It's information that I hadn't thought about before. After that, we are going to wrap the show up with a 15-minute conversation with my friend Jenny New. She's the owner of New Kombucha. It's a company here in Michigan. They make and produce and bottle and sell kombucha. Kombucha is a fermented tea, and it has beneficial probiotic bacteria in it. It's healthy for our bodies, our digestive tracts, and a lot more. So she's going to tell us all about that later in the show. So the first segment is about 25, 30 minutes. Second segment, the same. And then the final segment is about 15. So just to kind of give you an idea where we're at. All right, enough of me babbling here. Later this week, you're going to get an episode of Clinical Muscle. There's going to be an episode of Muscle Minds. And of course, at the end of the week, Bodybuilding Nerds Radio is always here to wrap things up. Guys, thanks for being here with me. Thanks for listening to the shows. Go over to the Advices Radio Facebook page and like it. Go over to the forums at advicesradio.com. You can ask all your questions there for all the shows. All right, let's do it. Here's the show. Welcome back to Advices Radio. I'm your host, Scott McNally, and back with me on the mic today is Jeremy Simon. You guys have heard from Jeremy in the past, and we did a video back when I was at Project Bodybuilding. He was coming into his show. Today, I got Jeremy with me. Last time he and I were talking, we were on the topic of gratitude and how important it is to think about, the things that we are thankful for and to keep our perspectives on life. It was a topic that hit home for me, and I thought to myself, I wanted to have a low-key show this week, and this is a perfect time to bring Jeremy back and talk about this topic. So, Jeremy, thanks for being with me.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, so last time we were together and talking, you were telling me about how thankful you were to be in a relationship with somebody who was caring and understood what you needed to do, especially during those last few weeks of a bodybuilding contest. And you expressed to me too, just how important relationships are to you and making sure that you keep those relationships intact. And I just felt like this was a great place for us to segue and talk about gratitude in general. I have a lot of clients that, at times have to grind to get that extra bit of fat off. And I always tell them there's one or two ways you can do it. You can either keep your attitude positive and you can be grateful for the ability and the know-how and everything else to be able to make this progress, or you can just be miserable and suffer. We don't have to suffer today, and I think that's something you and I have discovered. I hope we can kind of share that with everybody else, man. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's a topic that a lot of people forget to pay attention to. Like you said, we're able to actually do this and, and bodybuild like we want to. A lot of people don't even have that opportunity.
Yeah, that's true.
I remember back to the first time I really dieted down hard, and it was honestly a miserable experience for me. I was fighting it, you know, mentally I was fighting it along the way, and it was very difficult. I don't know where the switch flipped, but somewhere along the road, man, and I think it was in my second contest, I started getting an appreciation for what I was doing. And honestly, man, I don't suffer at all now. Like, I'll be feeling dizzy and hungry and unable to think, but I'm still like happy to be, you know, in that moment.
Yeah, it's kind of funny how you kind of get that way, because like the first competition I did, you know, like you said, you're hungry, you're tired, you're miserable, but you almost kind of crave that after a while. Like once you actually get to your later shows, you start to try to basically reach for that, because yeah, then you know you're making progress.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good point too, man. I feel like if I were, you know, a month out from a show and I weren't feeling that, I might be scared, first of all.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, the first thing I want to talk about with my gratitude personally, and one of the first things I look at, is I just feel just so lucky to be able to take my body to that level of condition. You know, I remember when I was working my old blue collar day job, and I would be, you know, in a store with like a couple hundred other people in there. And this isn't like an ego thing or a bragging thing, but I realized like, wow, I'm probably in leaner condition and have pushed my body further than anybody else in this whole place. And granted, they were all average people. These aren't the people I was competing against, but nonetheless, to be able to say like, wow, I'm one of the leanest people right now that are in this area, to be able to push my body to that extreme. It's like, to me, that's exciting to have that experience, because it's an experience that not everybody, and in fact, most people are never going to have.
Yeah, I feel the same way. It's funny you say that, because like I think that same way when I'm, you know, in a store, like you said, you see the average people and like these, they'll never experience this. Like it's an awesome feeling.
Yeah, and it's not like it makes us better. I'm not saying,
no.
That's the thing too. I'm not saying, and I know you aren't either. It's not like, oh, I'm leaner than you, so I'm better than you, or I look better. You know, it's not like that. It's just a matter of, I feel grateful. Now, at the same time, there's a lot of other experiences I'm not going to have in life. Like, I'm sure there's some guy who drives his motorcycle at a speed I will never experience, you know. But we can only choose so many experiences in life. And if you're going to embrace bodybuilding, and you're going to, especially if you're going to push for that really lean conditioning, I think it's super important to make sure that you love it and really remind yourself, you know, like I said, I have clients, and if they get in that bad mindset, I always remind them, we are doing this because you want to. Remember that you never have to do, you know, what my directions are. These are suggestions to you, and they will get you to the condition you want to get. But at the end of the day, this is your decision.
Yeah, most definitely. You always got to remind yourself of that. If you're being that miserable, this is not the sport for you, basically, if it's that bad.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it comes with time, too. I feel like, you know, I've talked to a lot of people about this. I know, like, recently Dr. Scott Stevenson and I had talked, you know, in more length about this. He's talked about the difference between suffering and discomfort.
Yeah. Yeah, there's definitely a difference.
Yeah, you're going to feel discomfort when you're dieting, and it is going to hurt probably, but, you know, it doesn't have to be suffering unless you decide to make it so.
Yeah, I mean, you're always going to have those days too where you just question why you're even doing it, and you get past that day and you wake up the next day and you move forward, you know?
Yeah, I think too, that's a good point, man. I feel like that's a lot of that has to do with having faith in the program that you're in.
Yeah, yeah. If you're seeing the progress, I mean, the reason you're making that progress is the sacrifices you're making. So you just have to keep that in mind.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So I thought a good idea for us was to get together here and maybe brainstorm some ideas that the listeners could take home about practicing gratitude themselves. What would be your first suggestion for practicing gratitude?
I recently just started journaling, actually. I get up really early in the morning, make my coffee, sit down, and then I just basically write out some things I'm thankful for. And then on top of that, I'll just also kind of run over my life and what I want to do and what I want to achieve, okay. Both bodybuilding and everything else.
Nice. So how long of a process is this?
You know, I mean, it's been 10 to 15 minutes of it. You know, you don't want to make it too long because then you're obviously not going to do it. So just real quick.
Yeah, I like that idea. And I feel like that's a practice. You know, it's something that would take time to do, and we have to set that time aside. But I agree, man. I feel like that if this is important to you, and if your attitude is bad, getting in that habit on a daily basis would be a really good way to kind of touch base with yourself. And it, as cheesy as it sounds to journal, I mean, I think it can really be helpful.
Yeah, I've definitely noticed a difference since doing it. And like I said, it just reminds you, and just the fact of taking some time and set it aside, you know, to actually think about what you're thankful for.
Yeah. One of the suggestions that I make to people, and if any of my clients or former clients are listening, and you've been told or asked to do this, there's a chance that you were suffering a bad attitude at the time. But I suggest to people when they're really going through a difficult mental stint that they write out a gratitude list, which it sounds like you cover that in your journaling, but just a simple list of like the top, you know, five or the top 10 or how many ever you can think of, the top things that you are grateful for, because life could, you know, you could have some bad shit going on. There's no question about that. Hell, I've worked with people that have suffered great losses, you know, during a diet and they decided to keep dieting. You know, I've known people that have gotten divorced and worse, and it can be difficult. But if you look at it, there are a lot of other things. Just because one aspect of life is going very poorly, say just because you lost your job, doesn't mean that every aspect of life is bad.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people fall into that spiral. You know, when one thing goes wrong, everything else kind of just follows suit. But like you said, if you have control of what you're doing with bodybuilding, so if you can stick with it, it's kind of helps you stay out of that mindset.
Sure, sure. And I know too, like, the idea, once again, I think gratitude list, it sounds cheesy to say, sit down, get out a piece of paper and write these things out. But I have never had it fail to work. Not once.
Yeah, I mean, it just gives you that reminder, keeps you moving forward.
Yeah. So, you know, and that's exactly what I'll do is I'll sit down, grab out a piece of paper. And right now, I would say if I were to look at like the top things I'm grateful for, you know, A, I'm grateful for family and the people in my life that support me. And B, I'm grateful for the health that I have. You know, and I guess that these things aren't all, you know, in order. C, I would say that I am grateful for the knowledge and the know-how that I have to be able to get in shape and to help other people get into shape. And last but not least, I would say I'm grateful for the money that I can make to be able to afford this luxury, you know, because bodybuilding is a luxury.
Yeah, it's an expensive one at that.
Yeah, yeah. If I were to challenge you to make a list, what would you say your top ones would be?
Very similar. Obviously, family probably up my top of the list, and especially my fiance. You know, she supports me in a lot of this, so without her I probably wouldn't be doing this as well as I am. My health, you know, I've, like you said, if your health isn't there, recently I've been having some digestive issues, so it definitely makes you think about your health. So that, and then like you said, the financial situation. I mean, it's expensive sport, so if you want to be able to do it, you need to have the funds to do so. And then obviously a roof over my head, and
yeah.
You know, I got a place to live and, you know, lay my head. And then, so that, and then, just like you said, the knowledge to do this and everything like that. So,
yeah, you just, you hired a new coach, right?
Yeah. Alan Kress. I was working with Chris Tuttle, which was great and everything, but, I started having those digestive issues, and I just kind of decided to back off for a little bit and try to figure some stuff out. And I had listened to a Geared Up podcast, and Alan had talked about digestive issues and how he went through the same thing. And so I reached out to him, and he seemed pretty confident he could help me out. We've been working with him for a couple of weeks now, and it's been going great. And he's definitely making some improvements. So
cool. So your digestion is it's getting a little bit better.
Slowly but surely, you know, it's not a fast process. It took months to get out of whack. It's going to take a little while to get it back to order. So just keeping that mindset, staying positive, you know, that's pretty hard, because some days you'll get, you know, just go terrible again. And then as long as, so it's just gets better.
Right on. I feel like one of the reasons, like back to gratitude, one of the reasons that I think I can become ungrateful, and because I want to state here too, you know, I listen to some people who talk about like, you know, gratitude and spirituality, and that they come off like their lives are perfect. And I don't want to ever sound like I'm one of those people. You know, I'm not trying to present myself like I'm some type of like a spiritual guru. I feel like I suffer from, you know, bullshit just like everybody else does. And to me, that's why talking about this stuff is really important, because these are tools that have helped me. I feel like one of the traps I can get into, and I see it happen to others too, is looking for happiness outside of myself, you know.
Yeah.
Thinking like, if I were, you know, if I were to reach these goals that I have, that then I would be happy, you know, and until I get there, I'm not happy. And for me, it's just, I'm happy just to be in the process now.
Yeah, that's the right mindset to have too. You got to, happiness is a state of mind. It's not a, you know, destination, so to speak.
Yeah. Yeah. We set ourselves up, you know, and we have these, like, look at the holidays, man. Look at the expectations is what I was going to say here. We set ourselves up with these really high expectations. I feel like the holidays are a great example. We build this up in our head that Christmas is supposed to be this great, big, perfect event. And, you know, perfect families are going to get together. We're going to have these perfect gifts. When in reality, nothing is perfect, you know.
No
party is going to be the perfect party, you know, no physique is going to be the perfect physique. And you know what, though, we could be grateful, though, for the achievements that we do have. And that doesn't mean to not shoot for more, you know, but it does mean being accepting of, you know, where we're at today.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of times when you're in bodybuilding stuff, people get focused on the end result, when in reality it is about the journey. I mean, I enjoy the whole process. That's the most enjoyable part. And if you can't enjoy that, then you're not doing it for the right reasons.
Yeah. Yeah. No question. I remember my last contest prep being like 3-4 weeks out, and I started getting super lightheaded all the time. Like, if I turned my head too fast, I'd start seeing stars. And I know it's just because like my blood sugar was probably really low, and I was really trying to push as hard as I could. Like, I wanted to take it to like the furthest level of conditioning I could. And I knew I'd gotten super lean in the past, but it was like, this year I'm going to get, you know, leaner than fucking ever. I'll be the leanest person ever. You know, I just went crazy. And, I just, though, like 3-4 weeks out, you know, I was feeling terrible and weak, but I loved every minute of it. I was like, oh man, tomorrow I'm going to have one less day of this. And before you know it, it's all over. Before you know it, you know, the show is done. The contest prep is over. You're back to normal life, you know, and then what?
You got
a plastic trophy.
Yeah. You get to the day of the show and it was like all built up to this. And then for some reason, just kind of a little bit of a letdown for some reason.
Yeah.
You know, it's weird.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of people that just keep chasing it, and yeah. I get that urge too. You know, you're like, I did good at this show, and, you know, I'm already in good shape. What if I just wait another 4 weeks and I'll do that one?
Yep. But at that point, you know, usually you're so spent, it's not the best move.
Yeah, and like your fiance has probably been waiting on you to like take her out to eat for two months now. And,
yep. Yeah. Yeah, you gotta take a step back every once in a while. You know, I know it gets addicting and you start getting close to the show. And like you said, you're in great shape. You want to do another show, but you kind of got to realize you got other people around you that are dependent on you too.
Yeah, I think that that's important, man, to make sure you keep those people in mind, you know, the whole way through as much as you possibly can.
I mean, yeah, the body bond's a pretty selfish sport. So, you know, when you get to the last couple of weeks of prep, it is really self-centered kind of. So you really do have to keep that in mind.
Yeah. So, you know, you had mentioned one other thing to me while we were talking earlier. That was meditation. And you said you've been practicing meditation and that's been improving your level of gratitude.
Yeah, I basically do that in the morning right before I journal. I just clear my head, just try to basically, your mind is always wandering every day, especially bodybuilding, you know, so you need to take time to actually clear your head and make time for that. So that way your mind can rest and relax and you can take on tasks ahead.
So where did you learn how to do this?
I had this app called Headspace.
Okay.
And then it basically takes you through 10 minutes and it's a walkthrough. It kind of narrates you through how to do it.
That makes it easy.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause if you just sit down in the quiet, you're going to go nuts. You're going to keep telling yourself, oh, I'm supposed not to be thinking here, but, there's also another cool one on YouTube. If you type in HoloSync, it's, actually has like, I can't remember what it's called, something Beats, but they actually stimulate your brain into a different wavelength so that you are more of an rest and relax state.
So that's not a guided meditation. That's like a series of sounds.
Yep. Yeah. It just stimulates your brain into a different wavelength so that you're more in a relaxed state. It's pretty awesome, actually.
Interesting. I've practiced meditation, specifically mindfulness meditation. And the idea of that is, I think it could be beneficial here. Instead of trying to shut my mind off or to relax it, like that's a lot of times we think of meditation and we think that we're going into like this otherworldly state. And for me, meditation is to focus intently on the present and exactly mm-hmm. what's happening right now. I feel like that helps me a lot with everything, you know. I'm no longer worried about what's going to happen in an hour, and I'm no longer you know, regretting things from the past or, you know, feeling discomfort over them.
Yeah, definitely. Like you said, one thing they teach in this app is just to sit back and observe, you know. Yeah. Don't just let the thoughts come, you know. Don't freak out about them. Just sit back and observe.
Yeah, because that's the thing, man. If anybody out there does want to talk more about meditation, please let me know, because I don't want to bore everybody, but I'm a really big fan of it, and it's hard to do. I feel like, you know, people try it and they try it for 2 minutes and their minds go all over the place. And then they're like, oh, I don't like meditation. I'm not good at it. But if you try it for 5 minutes every day for 2 weeks, you will get better at it, just like weightlifting, just like anything else.
Yep, exactly. It's just like training anything else. You're training your brain. I mean, it's not going to be overnight. I mean, it took me weeks before I really started to enjoy it, even, because it was almost torture just sitting there in silence. But yeah, I'm really starting to enjoy it now.
Yeah. And for me, so where this applies in my life is with mindfulness. You know, I'm stuck in traffic and I see myself getting upset. I know, like, oh, I'm supposed to meet my friends at the gym in 5 minutes and I've been stuck here for 15 and I don't see myself making it on time. So I recognize, okay, I'm getting upset here. And the reason I can recognize this is because I've been practicing this mindfulness, you know, mm-hmm. and then I can say, okay, I can choose now how I'm going to react. Am I going to let myself get all enraged and fly off the handle, or am I going to accept that there's nothing I can do about this situation and just get there as quick as I can, you know?
Yeah, and that's really tough to do. But like you said, it's about having the mindfulness to realize that you're getting upset. And then you got to ask yourself, I mean, is this going to really benefit me at all? I mean, if you're going to get upset about it, it's just going to make things worse.
Yeah. So for the, I know it's been said about like the Zen Buddhists that the way they look at life and the way they look at emotions, it is that they look at their lives as being like a house with all the windows open, and emotions are going to come in. And if all the windows are open, they'll just pass right through, you know, because no matter what you're feeling, it's always going to change for better or worse. Every emotion we ever have had and ever will have is always going to change. We're never stuck with the same feeling for, you know, too long.
Yeah, I like that. That's a good analogy.
So if you are out there, guys, I know a lot of people are starting their contest diets now, you know, or just trying to get in shape, you know. What were you going
to
say?
That's the best time to do it is during contest prep, because as we all know, your mind never stops during prep, so you really need to give it a chance to kind of mellow out.
So, yeah, if you guys are out there and you're starting your diets now, you know, just think about your goals and think about your level of mindfulness. Try to keep gratitude. You know, look at those emotions. If you start to feel shitty and you start to feel negative, then examine that and say, huh, okay. So this feeling came in. You know, this feeling came in my window. What am I going to do with it? How am I going to respond to this? Why is this happening? And, you know, sit with it. Don't try to force it out. Just sit with it. And I promise you, you know, it will change.
Yeah, definitely. And just don't take any of your frustration on anybody else. Keep it to yourself. And like you said, examine it and work through it.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Jeremy. I appreciate you coming back and hanging out with me here for a few. And like I said, we kind of have a low-key episode. We've had a pretty damn exciting 2016. 2017 is literally here now.
Yeah, definitely. It's got a big year ahead. 2017 is going to be awesome.
Hell yeah. All right, Jeremy. Well, I'll look forward to hopefully talking to you here again soon, brother.
Sounds good.
So the key to gratitude is appreciating what we have. And, you know, if you live in a first world country and you have the ability to listen to this podcast, you've got it pretty decent, at least better than a lot of people. And you know, we should definitely always try to appreciate that. You know, speaking of things that are not appreciated, water. I take it for granted. I take for granted that I'm going to turn my tap and water is going to come out. But there's a whole system of pipes and people that are making this happen every day and delivering water for me that I've always taken for granted just to be clean. I thought this is an interesting topic, and I thought that it applied to us in bodybuilding. Nothing else, like I said before, I just thought it would be fascinating to discuss. So, Andrea, how are you today?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on, Scott.
Well, thanks for being here. So, you are a public health advisor, and you specifically focus on the quality of water, right?
Yeah, so I work for my state government in the drinking water department. So basically, I'm the lady who says I'm from the government. I'm here to help when people have drinking water issues. So I'm just here to give a little bit more overview about drinking water and how it can affect public health.
Okay, cool. And not only that, but the reason that we know each other is you also are editing for a new development that we have over at Advices Radio. You are editing the writing program that we have going on. So thank you very much for that. I much appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to be doing it. So thank you.
Back with like all these just tiny changes here and there and all this stuff, it made the article read so much better. It was really cool to see. So I didn't expect that you were going to be able to put that much thought and that much effort into it, but it's almost like a thankless job, because I think that what you're doing is only helping the writers to articulate themselves better, and nobody really knows you're there. So thank you again. I really appreciate it, and it's really cool stuff.
That's my goal, is to be the scary lady with the red pen in the background. So
listen, tell me a little bit more about your job. You test water. I have no idea what that means.
So what I do is I actually regulate the people that are doing the testing of water and providing water to the public. So, you know, maybe we can start with telling people how clean water actually gets to their tap, because I think that process will clear a lot of things up.
Okay.
Because I think a lot of people don't have a really good concept of where their water actually comes from and how it's delivered.
I have no idea whatsoever, honestly. And it's fascinated me always. So this is cool stuff.
So obviously we all rely on clean water, and we turn on the tap and this drinkable stuff comes out. And as athletes and bodybuilders, we probably consume a lot more water than the average person. So it's probably good to feel confident in what you're drinking. And, you know, I think there is sometimes a misconception that drinking water comes from the government, but actually most people's drinking water is supplied by private or public entities like utility companies. And the federal and state governments just regulate those suppliers. So yeah, the government's just, they're attempting to, you know, protect water sources by regulating pollution and whatnot, and to make sure that the water that people are actually buying is safe. So there's also people that get their water from private wells. That's relatively unregulated water. So it's mostly their responsibility to make sure that their water is clean.
Okay.
But generally, water is going to be drawn from utility companies by either from surface water sources like lakes or rivers, or groundwater sources like underground naturally occurring aquifers. And then that utility company treats or disinfects the water so that it's potable, which means it's safe to drink, and then pumps it through pipes called water mains to their customers. And so when you turn on your faucet, you're bringing the water through a big old service line into your house and through your home's internal plumbing. And just as an aside, you know, you mentioned water testing, that treatment, disinfecting, testing is done by certified water operators. So there's a whole laundry list of people that are involved in the delivery process. But water operators are really the ones that are on the ground making sure that your water is clean, and they are certified by the state to be able to do that.
Okay, interesting. So back to that first question I had asked then. Now, they're obviously testing this water before it's delivered through this system and before it gets to my home. So you said it may be coming in from, say, a lake, for instance, and then it's brought into a conditioning or a purifying system. I take it it's tested after that process before it gets to me?
Correct. So it's going to go through several... Well, depending on where it's coming from, it's going to go through several layers of disinfection or treatment, and then it's going to be tested, and it's tested regularly, and then water suppliers will also test outside of people's houses as well.
Oh.
To make sure that water that's going into people's houses is clean. So there's a lot of work that goes into making sure that people are getting clean drinking water.
Okay. So I live in Detroit, and not too far from me, I think everybody nationally and probably even internationally to an extent has heard about the water crisis that happened in Flint. That's only a couple hours from me. There have been massive campaigns of people donating cases of water to be shipped up there. You know, the water is basically dangerous, they're saying, and people have been drinking this water for a long time. How does something like that happen?
So, yeah, like you said, I'm sure most listeners have heard about Flint, and that situation was definitely caused by sort of a royal cluster of oversights and ignorance and human error. But a lot of the Northeast and Midwest has really old drinking water infrastructure. So the pipes, underground pipes, are super old, and that includes lead pipes and other lead components.
Okay.
So usually... That's really not as bad as it sounds, even though lead is a really scary substance. And the issue in Flint happened when Flint switched from getting its water from Detroit to drawing water from the Flint River. Mm. I believe they thought that this was going to save them money. And it turns out that the water from the river is a lot more corrosive than the water that was previously flowing through those lead pipes.
Okay.
And there wasn't any additional treatment added to make sure that the new water didn't sort of corrode the pipes that it was going through and deliver lead along with the drinking water. So yeah, it's definitely a really shameful situation, but I think it's also made the public think about the water that they're receiving, which is definitely a good thing. And I just hope that people don't come away thinking that all water is inherently unsafe, but kind of realize that it takes a lot of investment from both local governments and private companies and other stakeholders to deliver safe drinking water. So being involved in your local decision-making process and holding your decision makers accountable is really important. And, you know, I'm curious how you feel about your tap water since you are so close to Flint.
Honestly, I don't trust it, to be truthful. I'm afraid. I'm probably one of those people, though, it just in general, that doesn't trust the government. So, because of that, I don't ever really drink water straight out of the tap. We have a new filter now, and I forget the name of it, but I guess that it's supposed to be a really good filter, and we're using that like exclusively at this point. And besides that, there are a couple of bottled waters that I am fond of, and I do want to ask you about bottled water. But while we were on the topic, though, of harmful things that could happen, besides lead, which was a real scary thing you had mentioned, what are some of the other potential issues that could happen with water, some of the other contaminants, and how could that affect our health?
Yeah, that's a really good question. You know, like you said, we talked about lead. There's also copper. So both lead and copper are really heavily regulated. But as we saw in Flint, sometimes just due to human error, those safety systems basically fail. So one step that people can take on their own to avoid lead and copper in their drinking water is to make sure that there aren't any lead components in their own homes, especially if you have an older house. You know, if you do think that you might have some lead piping or lead fittings in your water taps or whatever, just run your water. This sounds silly, but run your water for a couple of minutes before you drink it or before you use it for cooking. And then if you're gonna use it, use cold water, because that's gonna just take less lead off of any lead fittings that you have, basically.
Okay.
Some other things that people, might want to think about, and it really is dependent on where you live. Some areas have naturally high levels of arsenic. So that should be treated for by your water company. And there can be issues with fecal coliform bacteria, or what's otherwise called E. coli.
Okay.
That can be a big issue in warmer, like humid places.
Okay.
So if you are curious about your particular water, what you can do is, your water supplier is required to submit a consumer confidence report. And that goes to regulators and customers every year. And I think most of us, you know, if we see something from our water company that's not a bill, we just throw it in the trash.
I hate to admit, I'm one of those people.
Totally. But if you want to know more about your actual drinking water, I would recommend calling up your water company and asking for a copy of the report. I think you can also find it on the EPA's website. You can look for your particular water system.
Nice.
So, so you can see, you know, what kind of incidents have occurred, the quality of your water overall, if you've had any exceedances of levels on certain contaminants. And, you know, as a regulator, I can only say that if your water complies with regulations, then it's safe to drink. But I do think on a personal level that, you know, unless you're very poor or you happen to live in an area where a disaster occurs, which, you know, we've seen that it does.
Sure.
But most of us are pretty lucky that we get to go through life without even having to think about how clean our water is. We just turn on the tap and drinkable water comes out.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I had said, this is something that I had never known. So this stuff fascinates me. You know what? Something else I'm curious about. I got to pick your brain on this one. And for years now, like, I remember I used to work with this woman that was vegan, and she was afraid to get her kids like immunizations of any type. And she just was afraid of like everything out there in the world that was being done to her that she couldn't help. And a big one on her list was fluoride. What is up with the fluoride conspiracy? Okay, I'm going to tell you what I know about it. This is what I've been told, or what I've read at least. Topical fluoride on your teeth is beneficial, but fluoride being consumed is not beneficial. But clear it up for me.
Okay, so I do have to laugh at the word conspiracy. because I wouldn't call it a conspiracy, because, you know, it's pretty public knowledge. You can look up how much fluoride is added to your particular drinking water. And at least in my state, municipalities or cities get to decide whether or not their drinking water is fluoridated. So in my city, for example, we don't fluoridate the water.
No kidding. You know?
Yeah, the citizens have decided that they don't want none of that. So, but it does depend state to state on fluoride regulations. So I would encourage people to check out their state drinking water website if that's something they want more information about. I am not going to advocate for either adding fluoride to drinking water or not adding it, because honestly, I think people are pretty safe either way. Like, it's almost a non-issue. I think there's evidence to support that fluoridating drinking water, overall has led to a lot less tooth decay in young kids. But there's also evidence out there that says, you know, it's not actually that effective to fluoridate water, since most people, especially these days, are receiving basic dental care and you're brushing your teeth with fluoride substances. And I think a lot more things than people realize have fluoride in them. So the worst substantiated health effect from consuming, we'll say, normal levels of fluoride is dental fluorosis, which is basically just white streaks on your teeth, which are not very attractive, but they're not going to do much. And then I just don't think there's a lot of scientific merit to correlations that people might draw between fluoride and cancer or things like osteosarcoma. And just a quick note, a lot of drinking water contains naturally occurring fluoride.
Oh, really?
Sometimes it's in higher amounts than what's thought of as safe or what's actually added to drinking water. So just something for people to consider. You can check out, there's tons of information on fluoride in your particular geographic region out there. So if it's something that you're worried about, definitely take a look. But overall, like I said, I personally think that it's kind of a non-issue.
Okay. All right. I have a big question for you. This is an either-or question. Tap versus bottled. Which is better? And on that note, is there testing on bottled water?
All right, so I'm going to start off by acknowledging that I am pretty damn biased on this subject because I hate how environmentally awful it is to use bottled water.
That's
even if
huge.
Those bottles are technically recyclable.
Yeah.
Not trying to hate on you, Scott. A lot of bottled water comes from the same sources that tap water comes from.
Okay.
So basically, you're just paying a hell of a lot more money for the same water you'd be getting from your potable water faucet in your home. Yeah, it's coming from municipal sources. So as far as testing, as far as I know, there's not too many super recent large-scale tests on the cleanliness of bottled water.
Okay.
But there has been older testing, and I think it was in the late 90s, the testing that I'm thinking of, that showed that a lot of bottled water contained contaminants at levels that were above federal safety standards.
Interesting.
So it's also not great to carry around water in those little disposable plastic bottles that bottled water comes in. Yeah, I'm sure you've heard this before, that plastic is, it's a polyethylene material. And so if you leave that in your car or it gets hot and cold and hot again, it starts to leach some of that polyethylene into the water it's holding. So my advice to lifters who are, you know, we're chugging water all the time is to really buy a big, quality BPA-free water bottle. You know, don't carry around a 5% plastic gallon jug.
Regardless, just don't do that, please.
To each their own, but...
No. I'm making a statement here. No, you're not allowed.
Yeah, I would advise against it as a public safety hazard. but just constantly refill that reusable bottle from sources you trust throughout the day.
Okay. So how about filtering systems? It sounds like what you're telling me, if you you live in, you know, the United States and you're in a decent home that doesn't have issues with the pipes, there's a really good chance that your water is just fine. Is it worth continuing to then filter your water beyond that?
So this is an area that, you know, obviously I don't have a lot of to do with in my professional life, just because home filtering systems are a private industry.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what I know. There's several kinds of home filtering systems that are pretty popular. There's the little things like Brita filters, which I think we're all familiar with. And then there's also reverse osmosis filters, and those go underneath like your kitchen sink. And then there's also whole house filters. Honestly, I don't know that any of them are really going to be worth your money unless you have a lot of like particulate matter in your drinking water and it really grosses you out.
Okay.
Reverse osmosis filters and whole house filters, they're pretty expensive, and they do take maintenance. A lot of them, and this is going to differ depending on what you get, but a lot of them aren't going to filter out a lot of the chemical additives that are used to treat drinking water.
Okay.
So unless you really don't trust the water that you're getting from your water system, I'm not sure that they're going to do a whole lot that's not aesthetic, if that makes sense.
Okay. I do notice that the flavor, the taste is better. That's one thing that I've picked up on. My water has like a real strong chlorine taste always. Mm. And once I filter it, it just tastes like water, like the way water should taste, which is kind of flavorless in a way.
Right. And, you know, the taste of water changes depending on where you are too. It's pretty crazy how that happens. Yeah. I've actually taste tested and rated water.
No, it's kidding.
It's weird what we do in my job.
But. No kidding. So like you would have, say, like a bottle of water from one area of the country next to a bottle of water from another area?
We do it in my state. We do it from different regions of the state, and water systems actually compete for the best tasting water.
No kidding. It's like a competition, huh?
Yeah, it's like a wine tasting, but we're totally sober.
So do you, are you a judge for this then? Is that what you're telling me?
Yes.
No kidding. Judge. Oh man, that's pretty awesome.
So, let's see, there's also things, back on the subject of filtering,
yes.
There's things like Brita filters too, which I mentioned, and to be quite honest, those kind of gross me out a lot of the time, just because I think that most people are not religious about cleaning them or changing their filters,
yeah.
And so I think that you're just filtering your water through sort of a film of bacteria.
Yeah.
But, you know, if filtration systems are something that people like yourself, you know, you probably have the money to spend on it, and if you like the taste better, then I don't think there's anything wrong with using them. Just make sure that you're doing your maintenance so you're not adding to anything that could be in your water.
Okay. Is there anything else that I haven't asked you here that I should be asking you?
You know, I think that's a pretty good overview. I would just recommend that people take a look at, like I said, their water company's information that they can get. I know it's boring, but there's some good stuff in there, I swear. And don't be afraid to ask questions. You know, as bodybuilders, people are willing to put, you know, strange amounts of substances into their body, but they're not always concerned about the basic things like water.
Yeah.
So just take the time to take a look at, you know, your state drinking water website and see what contaminants could potentially be in your water. And then take a look at that consumer confidence report to make sure that what you're drinking is actually safe. And, you know, keep up on that annually. And other than that, you should really be good to go.
Okay, cool. So, you know, off topic here then, you're getting ready to start dieting for your first show, aren't you?
Yeah, so I've competed in powerlifting before, but I never enjoyed training like a powerlifter.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go for it.
This is going to be badass then. I saw some of your recent progress pictures, and you're doing figure, correct?
I'm going to try, yeah.
I think you'll do better than try. This is you're already fairly lean, and you said you're going to shoot for a May show, correct?
Yeah, I'm going to take a good long prep just so I can learn how my body responds and try and keep some size on my toothpick legs.
Come on.
We'll see how it goes.
All right. Well, I'll be following along and cheering you on for that. How much water do you drink a day, by the way?
Oh, my God. I'm probably at a gallon and a half on average days, and I swear, like, only a quarter of a gallon of that is from coffee.
All right, Andrea. Well, this has been really cool. I really appreciate you coming on and sharing this really interesting information with all of us.
Well, I really appreciate you having me on, and I know it's not probably something that listeners were expecting, but I hope people got some information out of that they can use. And if anyone has any questions or they want to follow up with me at all, they can head over to the Advices forums. I'm over there, so come find me and say hi.
All right, guys, well, I hope you enjoyed that interview as much as I did. It was a lot of fun, and there was a lot of cool stuff that I just really had no idea about. So up next, we're going to speak to Jenny New, and we're going to learn all about kombucha. Welcome back to Advices Radio. I'm your host, Scott. And with me today is Jenny New of New Kombucha. Kombucha is a drink that I discovered years ago, and I just started talking about it on my other show, Bodybuilding Nerds Radio, last year. I discovered there were a lot of people that didn't know anything about kombucha, and so I thought to myself, why not bring somebody on who could tell us a little bit more, and who would be better than the owner of a company that makes and sells kombucha? New Kombucha is a local company to me, so I figured that she would be an ideal person to bring Jenny on here. Jenny, how you doing today?
I'm good. How about yourself?
I'm really good, thanks. So just to get us started out, what is kombucha?
Kombucha is a fermented tea. And it ferments anytime from 7 to 30 days. And it's a little tangy, a little effervescent. It's kind of in a soda flavor, vinegary soda.
Okay.
It
kind of does take a little bit of getting used to. I don't know anything else that tastes like kombucha. Do you?
No, not at all. Maybe a vinegary apple cider vinegar, maybe.
Oh, yeah. That might be close. Yeah. Can you tell me anything about the history of kombucha?
They think it started in the Far East about 2,000 years ago. An emperor, he was had an ailment, and he asked his people to make him a tonic, and it came to be known as kombucha.
Hmm.
And it's traveled through Russia, made its way to the U.S., and started becoming popular around 95, of course, in California. And then it made its way through the states, and yep, we're starting to get some more information here in Michigan, and it's really great business to help people, and we really enjoy making it.
Awesome. So what are the health benefits?
Mainly it's for digestion, the probiotics, which is, you know, the healthy bacteria that helps fight the bad bacteria that can get into your gut and your intestinal tract.
Okay.
Which also helps digestion and just keep it balanced.
Okay.
In the digestive tract.
Interesting. Is there, because I've heard it's beneficial in a wide range of things. And for us as bodybuilders, we consume so much food. I've had different, digestive issues in the past, and I've turned to probiotics and healthy bacteria in various forms. I found kombucha to be really helpful. I've also heard, though, that it can be helpful for a lot of other things. Like, I mean, things I wouldn't have even expected. Like it works as a diet or an appetite suppressant even.
Yep. It does have a few carbs. It's not, super high, like a donut maybe or something. but it helps, tide you over, and so that contributes to your energy levels. It does have some B vitamins, so it helps with a little bit with stress, and, those B vitamins help with your energy to keep it stable rather than, maybe having a sugary something and then crashing in the middle of the day. It's more of a balanced drink. And it has, the benefits of the tea, so the antioxidants and vitamin C's and different things. It's a well-rounded drink rather than grabbing for a Coca-Cola or, a soda or something like that.
Sure, sure. So you mentioned that it's made with tea, that tea is one of the components. What does make up kombucha? How is it made?
So you take, you just make a regular sweetened tea. We use organic cane sugar, which we find to be the best. So you make that and you bring it to room temperature and add a culture. So that culture is called a SCOBY. So it's an anagram for symbiotic colony of bacteria and yeast.
I always wondered what that meant. I had no idea.
Yeah. So that bacteria and yeast helps convert the sugars and the caffeine and the tannins in the tea.
Okay.
And that, continues to convert into the enzymes and the different benefits in the tea.
Hmm.
So, yeah.
Interesting. How long does that process take?
You can do it from 7 days, which will be, sweeter. And then as you continue to ferment, those sugars and tannins and different things keep converting. So at the end of 30 days, which is the top amount that you should, ferment it until, it'll be more tangy. So the less you ferment, it's, the sweeter and more sugars. And then towards the end, at the 30 days, you have the less sugars, the more benefits, and then the more vinegary it turns.
Mm. So as a company owner, you obviously want something that tastes good, but you're making this for the health benefits. What do you find is like the good balance there between the sweetness versus what it sounds like the worse it tastes, the better it is for you?
We do a 17-day ferment. So we just, try to get it kind of in the middle.
Okay.
And then some of our flavors are more sweeter than others.
Okay.
And we also do a 30-day ferment, so we have a wide range. For the beginner of kombucha, or that doesn't really mind a little added sugar, to, the other end where you're watching your sugars and your carbs, and so we have that more tangy, higher nutrient flavor as well.
Okay. So you mentioned sugars. What are the macros on this? Like how much sugar are we talking?
It can range from brewer to brewer. Ours generally the highest is we have 8 different flavors. So our root beer is the highest in sugars.
Okay.
But, you know, it's just a basic sugar. It's nothing like we would never, ever add corn syrup or, you know, high fructose or anything.
Okay.
And so that is at 18 grams for a 16-ounce bottle.
Okay.
But, you know, it can range. You know, there's GT's is our, you know, the major company of kombucha out of California.
Yeah.
And they, I believe that every bottle is the same, and it's, I believe, at 2 grams.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, kombucha, it depends on how you brew it. And then, you know, we okay. go down to a 2 gram bottle, and that's usually plain. If you're watching your sugars, the best kombucha to have is the, you know, the plain where there's no, you know, no added anything. It's just the tea fermented.
Okay. Now you mentioned too that this is a fermented process. I assume that means this contains some amount of alcohol.
Yep. Every kombucha has some levels, percentage of alcohol, and you know some you have to, you know, they check your ID, so that would be above the 0.5%.
Okay.
Ours, generally speaking, is at a 0.3. So there is a tiny bit, but it's nothing. It's like a, if you're familiar with a tincture, I don't know, their health, like homeopathic medicine,
yeah.
Has a tiny bit of alcohol. So it's sort of like that.
Okay. Okay. So nothing drastic. You're not going to get drunk off of this is what you're telling me.
Right. There actually was an article, done on a man that tried to get drunk on kombucha. he took 2 gallons and he was just, in the bathroom, I guess.
I guess for a long time yeah. too, I bet.
Right. Mm-hmm. He had to call off work and everything. Yeah. That's the worst that could happen.
So, what made you decide to start this business? Because this is it's a really unique company.
Yeah, we were, I was born in California, so, you know, that health surrounded me.
Okay.
And I went to a nursing school for a while, and it just wasn't for me. But I did want to help people. That was the main reason for going to the schooling. So, you know, I've been in this health world all my life, and I came across an opportunity to start making it with a cafe in Royal Oak, and then it just blossomed from there. We really liked it. All my friends and everything thought it was delicious. So I was like, well, maybe we should bottle it. And here we are. We started with 50 bottles a week, and now we're up to about 900.
Oh,
and
wow.
Yeah, it's going great. And I love helping people and, you know, educating what I can. And I'm not nervous to talk. And yeah.
No kidding. So it sounds like things are really growing, and you have an actual location of your own where you could go in and buy kombucha like straight from the tap, right?
Yep. We have a rotating flavor on draft here in Farmington, where our factory is, and you can come up and, you know, buy bottles or, you know, the draft. We have a bring back your bottle program.
Nice.
Where it's a lot cheaper. Great. And you can ask, you know, you can even start your own. We supply SCOBYs and whatever else you need to make your own kombucha at home, which is most cost effective, but, you know, it's time consuming as well. So
sure.
Yeah.
So what's on tap right now?
We have a watermelon limeade, so it's kind of a summer in the middle of the freezing cold. But we usually have seasonal flavors, so we just changed it up a little bit for this couple weeks, and then we'll go back to our next one will be a dark cherry.
Okay. So what flavors do you offer? Because when I first looked at what you had, I think I saw maybe 3 or 4, and at least there were 3 or 4 available to me. Maybe there were more at the time, but you just said you mm-hmm. have, was it 9?
We have 8 right
8.
Now.
Okay.
So yeah, we have a super berry, which is blueberry, goji berry, and elderberry. Lavender lemonade.
That's a good one.
Pineapple. Yeah, that's our most popular.
Is it? That's my favorite.
Around, you know, we've been around. I'm sorry, what's that?
Oh, I said that's my favorite one.
Oh, yeah. That's been the most popular since we've been in business. And then we have a root beer, the plain, the tart cherry ginseng, turmeric ginger, and then we have the rocket fuel. which is a 30-day ferment, so it's in a small little kind of an energy shot in a way.
No kidding.
Yeah. And then we have our cranberry, which is a seasonal flavor.
Mm.
And so, yeah, we have a few different selections and, you know, different tastes, more vinegary, and then, you know, the more sweeter, like the root beer, as I mentioned.
Nice. So how long does this last? If I were to, say, stop up at the store and I were to pick a bottle up, how long can I keep that in my refrigerator?
We have a two-week shelf life on ours, and, you know, to keep it on the in the refrigerator.
Yeah.
But it can last for up to 2 months in your fridge. It's just in case the alcohol, you know, in case someone keeps it out, the alcohol could rise because it's constantly fermenting.
Okay.
But, you know, in the fridge, it's pretty much stopped. But if you sit, you know, leave it out on your counter, it will keep fermenting and that alcohol will increase.
Okay. So if people wanted to reach out and check out New Kombucha, how would they find you?
We have our website, newkombucha.com.
And that's spelled N-E-U, right?
Correct. Yep. It's actually okay. German, so it's Neu. It's just a play on words there. And also we're on social media, Facebook and Instagram. And then, you know, if you are in the Michigan Farmington area, we are on Google Maps. So it's easy to, you know, just punch us in and takes you right here.
Awesome. Well, Janie, thank you very much for your time. This has been pretty cool. And I hope that this has maybe given a little bit of insight to some of the listeners about maybe something they could do that's a little bit different to help improve their digestion and possibly improve their health overall.
Yeah, and we're here to help. So any questions that anybody has, feel free to contact us. And thanks for having us on the show.
Absolutely. I'll have to stop by over at your location in Farmington. I still haven't seen it yet, but I have to check it out, and I have to see what Kombucha on Draft is all about.
Okay. Yeah, and we'll show you the huge SCOBYs that we have.
Awesome. Well, I can't wait. Thank you, Jenny. I appreciate your time.
Okay, thanks, Scott.
All right, guys. Well, that brings us to the end of this episode of Advices Radio. I hope that you found this stuff interesting and hope that you appreciated the change. It was just something kind of fun and different. Next week, we will be back on track with hardcore bodybuilding talk once again. And later this week, stay tuned, as I mentioned earlier, for Clinical Muscle and Muscle Minds. Of course, at the end of the week, we always wrap things up with Bodybuilding Nerds Radio. See you guys soon.
Advices Radio Network.